Ephesians and the chapter 5, and we will read the verses 15, 16 and 17. Our focus is going to be in the first part of verse 16, but we'll read these three verses together. So Ephesians 5, 15, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." And we'll end there, knowing the Lord will bless the reading of his word. Tonight's message perhaps is rather unusual for a midweek meeting, but in looking at this today, I was really preaching to my own heart about the preciousness of time, as we have it set out in the beginning of this verse 16, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. I have preached in this text before, focusing in the latter part, the days are evil, and certainly these days are evil days, and that is part of the motivation, redeem the time, because the days are evil. Now, redemption has to do with buying back. And there is a sense, of course, in which we cannot buy back time, in the sense that as time is gone, we cannot get it back again. So as this day has almost passed into eternity, we cannot relive the hours earlier in this day. We cannot relive yesterday. That is time that is gone. And the redeeming time then has to do with buying up opportunities. So there is this idea of buying back, but it has the idea that we cannot modify the past, but we can modify this moment and the future. And in that sense, we redeem the time. We reflect upon the past, and we seek to use the time that is before us wisely, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Some months back, I talked about the word circumspectly in verse 15. "See then that you walk circumspectly." And I sought to show then that that word very especially has the idea of carefulness, consideration. And there is to be this carefulness in relation to the whole issue of the use of our time. Like everything else the scripture presents to us, this matter of time management and good use of time was something that our Savior perfected. He never fell short in this regard. And remember how he said in John 9, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work." And the Lord was saying, my time here is a short time. The time allotted for my ministry, it's a short time. The day, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. And the Lord, in that sense, redeemed the time. He fulfilled his ministry. Such a short period of time, and yet what a ministry was performed. And so then I want us to look at this redeeming the time, and perhaps slightly taken out of its context, and just looking at this whole idea of time. First of all, I want us to see that the text is showing us the sin of time wasting. So the very words that are before us, redeem the time, reminds us of the sin of time wasting. The time is wasted by the sin of idleness. And the book of Proverbs surely makes that abundantly clear to us. One of the themes that comes up and up again in the book of Proverbs is the sin of slothfulness, the sin of laziness, the sin of idleness. Proverbs 10, verse 4, he becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. And the Bible does speak then of how some poverty is the result of laziness. And of course, that's not to say that all poverty is the result of laziness, but here is a general principle. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand. Proverbs 19:15, slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep, and an idle soul shall suffer hunger. Proverbs 26:15, the slothful hideth his hand in his bosom, it grieveth him to bring it again to his mouth. The sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render a reason. And so over and over again, we have this theme of the sin of laziness, of slothfulness being exposed in the book of Proverbs. And when we come to the New Testament, that particular teaching is reinforced. And some weeks back, I talked about the whole issue of the Protestant work ethic. And so we are not to be slothful. Hebrews 6 verse 11, the writer there says, we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful. So Paul is saying, I'm praying that you would be diligent. Don't be slothful. And of course, the diligence there is very especially in spiritual matters. But as we think of the message of the New Testament as a whole, isn't it showing us that our secular lives and our spiritual lives cannot be divided? And just as we are to show diligence in our day-to-day secular work, we're not to be slothful. So we're not to be slothful when it comes to spiritual things. 1 Timothy 5:13, Paul is given instruction there. With all they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies. And Paul is warning of the danger that can happen when people are idle and lazy, and going about from one place to another, having idle chit-chat, not actually engaged in running a home, not actually engaged in labor at home. Paul is saying these people need to be taught not to be idle. And then one more reference we'll give is Ephesians 4:28, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor. Don't be idle, but work. And today, it's very easy for us to waste time by the sin of idleness. Perhaps there has been no generation in history that has been more tempted to idleness and slothfulness than ours. And we have such easy access to entertainment. It's right by our hand, almost 24 hours a day. Easy access to YouTube, easy access to Facebook or some other form of social media. And we could waste away hours looking at our phone or our computer screen or whatever it might be. And Paul, his warning is right up to date, redeeming the time. Time is wasted by the sin of idleness. Time is also wasted in wicked actions. You think of when the sinner gives time to sinful pursuits. So the one that gives attention and time to drunkenness, his night out of drinking and drunkenness is a waste of God-given time. Time given to backbiting or quarreling or any other sin, it's a waste of time. We are to make good use, profitable use of our time. Time is wasted in wicked actions, and time is wasted if there are wrong priorities. As I've said, we are to work, and secular activities are legitimate. But if a person engages only in secular activities, they are a waste of time. Because time that is used well is time that is lived in preparation for eternity. And the best minutes and hours of our day are those that are given with an eternal end in view. And so time given to business and money, and that is important to give time to business and money, but that is only of benefit in time. But time given for eternal matters is laying up treasure for eternity. So we could say then, if 100% of our time is in secular business activity without thought of God, then that is all wasted time. And so, as I've said then, the text, it warns us, it reminds us of the sin of time wasting. But then I want to see, secondly, the arguments for viewing time as precious. So, evidently Paul is saying, redeem the time because time is precious. How can we say time is precious? We'll have four suggestions about that. First of all, time is precious because it is to be viewed in light of eternity. So I've already mentioned something of the relationship between time and eternity. So time is given as a gift in preparation for eternity. And the time that the Lord has given on earth is given to prepare us for eternity. Now, we don't always use that time well. That's why Paul is saying, redeem the time, because the days are evil. But time is precious when we keep in mind that the time the Lord has given is preparation for eternity. We all agree that gold and silver are precious, and yet in eternity those things count for nothing. And yet in eternity, time does not count for nothing. So yes, in eternity, time will be no more. And yet Scripture says that now while we live in time, we are laying up treasures in heaven. And so while for God's people in heaven, time will be no more, yet Scripture is teaching us that time on earth is not wasted as far as heaven is concerned. So if our silver and gold, if we have any on earth, is meaningless when it comes to heaven, time is not. Is it not clear then that time is more precious than silver or gold? Time rightly used prepares us for eternity. Time for the sinner to seek the Lord. The time then the sinner comes before God in brokenness and comes in faith, that is not time wasted. The time given in the life of the Christian to walk with God, it's not time wasted. Time is precious because it is viewed in light of eternity. And then time is precious because it is viewed as short. Back in Belfast on the Martyrs Memorial Church, there's a clock in the front of the building, and over the clock face are the words, time is short. And it's a good thing to be reminded when we look at our watch or we look at the clock. Time is short. We ask, what time is it? We would do well every time we ask the question to remember that while it may be 3 p.m. or 6 p.m., all the same, time is short. Now, in the study of economics, students learn about demand and supply. When the supply of a commodity is small, its value increases. So if there's a lack of beef in the market, people still want beef, there's still demand, there's not much supply, the prices are going to go up. Scarcity then causes us to place value on something. And remember, that's very dramatically pictured in 2 Kings 6. Remember that scene when the city of Samaria was besieged in the days of Elisha, and the people were really brought to their knees, that the famine was very extensive, even to the point where people were selling the dung of a bird. How could that be something that is value? It's because there was no food. So suddenly, things that normally were of no value had value. Time is short. We are to see it as valuable. We are to see it as precious. If our life is just like a vapor, then it's precious. If this day passes so quickly and every day does, we are to use the time God has given us wisely, redeeming the time. Time is precious, thirdly, under this point, because we are uncertain when it will end. I think if a doctor told us tonight that his prediction for us was that we only had a few weeks to live, we would live the next few weeks differently than our current plan is. If we thought that we only had a few weeks left, we would certainly seek to use the time left wisely. Remember how the instruction came to Hezekiah, "Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live." And yet really, we should be living with that mentality continually. We don't know the day of our death. And therefore time is precious. This could be my last day. Time is precious. It's to be used wisely. And then lastly, under this point, time is precious because when it is past, it cannot be recovered. Sometimes we may break things of value or lose things of value, and many of them can be replaced. Yes, there might be some items that we have that are of sentimental value or something like that, and they can't be placed. But generally speaking, if we lose something, or maybe we give something away and then later think, oh, actually I do have need of that object, it can be replaced. But time cannot be replaced. When it's gone forever. If we've wasted our time in the past, and to some degree we all have, we cannot get back the time that is gone. And surely all of this then is in Paul's mind, writing to the Ephesian believers. Redeeming the time. Redeeming the time. I want to see then, lastly, the motivations for redeeming the time. There is the motivation that's given in the text itself, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. The days are evil. Evil abounds all around us. There's a good work to be done. The Lord has called us to do that good work. And so in the previous verse, verse 15, "See then that ye walk circumspectly," this carefulness that I talked about, "not as fools, but as wise." Don't walk foolishly, walk wisely. The days are evil, so live wisely, redeeming the time. So the evil of the day is one of the great motivations to us to use the time that we have wisely, that a good thing might be done in the little time that the Lord has given. Also, the fact that we will give account for the use of our time surely is to be a motivation for redeeming time. Matthew 12:36, the Lord said that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. And if every idle word, every careless word that is spoken, we give account in the day of judgment. Surely there'll be an account given for misspent time. Isn't time part of that talent that has been given by the Lord? Remember in that parable of the talents, the five talents, the two talents, the one. The Lord has entrusted us with different blessings. We don't all have the same gifts and abilities. But one thing that we each have is a period of time. We have to ask ourselves, are we making use of that time? Are we making gains, to use the word from the parable there in the Gospels? Are we making good investment with the time, making good use of that talent of time the Lord has given? We ought to, because we're to live with this accounting day in view. Then also reflecting upon wasted time should cause us to make better use of future time. And very especially, surely we can say as God's people that our time spent in our unconverted days was wasted time. Living for the devil, living for the things of the world, was wasting time. Now, we didn't cease to waste time when we became Christians. And that's why Paul is saying to these Christians, you need to keep thinking about this, redeeming the time. But as we think back upon time that we have wasted, whether in our Christian life or before our conversion, it should teach us to make better use of the time that we have now. I was thinking of the dying thief. And you think of how, hanging there on the cross, after the Lord said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise, that dying thief could look back upon a life that was wasted. He only had a short amount of time left to use wisely, and yet he was to redeem the time. I thought of Naomi in the book of Ruth. The book of Ruth corresponds in time to the book of Judges, and so during one of those times of oppression, this family of Naomi and her husband and the two boys, they left Bethlehem and they went to Moab. There was hunger, and it's one of those periods then when the plunderers were coming in, stealing away the harvest, and the people of Bethlehem were hungry. And so we can understand why Naomi and her husband and her sons would abandon Bethlehem and go away. And yet they ought not to have done. Because remember, in the book of Judges, it was God's purpose that in such times of humbling, there was to be a crying unto God. Just as in this time of humbling across the face of the earth, we're not to try and escape the realities that are around us. It's a time to call upon the Lord for his intervention. Now, isn't there a sense in which the time that Naomi spent in Moab was wasted? Now, it's true that God is sovereign in all things, and God brought good out of it. God brought about the conversion of Ruth. And yet, generally speaking, the period spent in Moab was time wasted. And so she came to Bethlehem and she said, don't call me Naomi. Don't call me Pleasant. Call me Mara. Call me bitter. The Lord has dealt with me in this bitterness. But by the end of the book of Ruth, Naomi is certainly not called Mara. She is called Naomi, the pleasant one. There's great rejoicing with her towards the end of Ruth chapter 4. The Lord took the bitterness away. And I think we can draw the lesson there, that though there had been a wasting of time, Naomi came to learn the lesson. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. And our past failure, our past bad time management, does not mean that we will live forever wasting time. We're to reflect upon that wasted time that we would make better use of it. I'll give another example before we come to a close. Manasseh was the son of Hezekiah, and the early part of Manasseh's reign was full of wickedness, where he reinstated false worship. He built and restored the altars that had been broken down by his father, altars for Baal. So this false worship was reinstated under Manasseh. But the Lord humbled him. The Lord brought Manasseh to know that the Lord, he is God. And what do we find Manasseh doing in the latter part of his life? Repairing the altar of the Lord. Offering peace offerings and thank offerings and commanding Judah to serve the Lord God of Israel. Yes, he had wasted many years. And yet, his life didn't need to end on that note. He was able to use time wisely. And may the Lord increasingly help us to redeem the time. The days are evil. To go back to where I started, may the Lord make us more and more Christ-like. I must work the works of him that sent me. So Christ was sent by the Father. But in turn, Christ said, as the Father sent me, I send you. And therefore we enter into that text. I must work the works of him that sent me. I must work the work of Christ while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. And may the Lord help us then to live with that Christ-centered living, a cross-centered living, redeeming the time because the days are evil. May the Lord bless these words to our hearts. Amen.